And welcome to the Mill and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. Pants, are you there?
I am here. I was waiting for my intro.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were there. As we're doing this in quarantine, Pants and I are both in giant glass test tubes like the supervillains have. We actually bought these at the supervillain surplus store. You can get a pretty good deal when you buy them in bulk.
It's considered an emergency need, too. So you can just drive up and get a tube for yourself and friends right there outside the store.
Tell them Mel and Floyd sent you. You get 10% off.
Exactly.
How you doing?
How am I doing? Well, let's see. I'm doing okay, actually. I'm not a technology guy. In fact, I'm a little leery of talking over the phone even. So it's been interesting doing my work from home.
You're speaking over a quill pen right now, actually.
Exactly. I realized, I think it's something to do with my psychology, not surprisingly. I like things to be just physical objects occupying space and time. And electronic stuff that gets represented on the screen doesn't have that for me.
That's so funny because you're like Mr. Philosophy.
Yes.
About his abstract.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Anyway, Minions, we're going to try to do this. It's a little odd because Pants and I are in separate secret locations. Well, you know Pants is in the Smarty Cave, of course.
Nothing new.
I assume you're in the Smarty Cave.
Yes. Yes, I am in the Smarty Cave. I'm actually speaking to you now from a glowing red phone that I just pulled the glass dome off of. So,
you usually just order that. Use that to order pizza, I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, well, thanks to our news and public affairs coordinator, director Puma. Sally for trying to work with us here, but we're both pretty dumb, so it's kind of hard to, get us to water. So
I have been making videos of my lectures for my classes, and fortunately, Companion is very tech savvy. I have my own IT department here in the Smarty Cave, and they're actually coming out pretty fun looking. So one of the first ones I did, he had me pop into the screen. We actually have a green screen at home. And so he had me sort of pop into the screen. And for some reason, I don't know why, I looked very astounded when I first show up. and it looked really like a really good sci-fi effect. Like I just suddenly materialized, right? But I'm a little winded or a little surprised by the whole thing. And when I was looking at it, I was thinking, wow, that's going to get some positive feedback from my students. And in fact, they did send me some emails and messages saying, oh, it's really cool looking. But I couldn't take credit for it, of course.
Yeah. Well, you should have.
Yeah, I should have. That would be bad.
So it's like you just popped right out of the TARDIS, that kind of.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like. It's a picture of my office, and then it's just empty, and then suddenly, pop, there I am.
So. Well, of course, this is an unprecedented situation, and But Wisconsin continues to be Wisconsin, because even with the safe at home initiative and the closing of non-essential businesses, Wisconsin has declared liquor stores as essential businesses.
Really?
Yep. I'm not kidding.
I could see that. I could see that. Yep.
Well, I was laughing about that, and I sent it to some people, and then somebody wrote back and said, yeah, do you want all of these Wisconsin people drying out all at once and getting the disease and then being cooped up together?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, there's all these pieces of advice you can see, like in the paper and stuff, you know, how to make yourself feel better, how to ease your anxiety, you know the facts, you know, put things in perspective. But the Mel and Floyd solution is come up with some comforting booze, right? And so I think there's going to be a lot of COVID martinis and mixed drinks that are going to come out of this event. So,
oh, you're right. I hadn't thought about that, but
yeah.
So once again, to the minions, we're doing this over the phone, which is we're finally literally phoning it in instead of figuratively.
Well, you were saying last week that you've been preparing for years for social distancing.
Yeah,
and I have to say I have to say that I think the phoning it in part, I've been preparing for that for a while now.
Well, I started with emotional distancing quite a while
ago. There you go.
So that was the first step.
And, yeah.
And that no. Well, speaking of liquor, actually, nationwide, the sales of alcohol beverages is shooting way up.
Wow.
It's up. Sales of beer is up 14%, wine 28%, and hard liquor 26%. So,
golly.
That's head over impressive. To Fitchburg and get your liquor. But,
over in Liquor Town.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a friend who lived in Liquor Town, I mean Fitchburg, the mythical city of Fitchburg, and I used to say all the time, is this Liquor Town or Fitchburg? And so his little boy grew up thinking that it was actually called Liquor Town.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting some echo and feedback here. So
there we go. It went away.
Is that better? Okay. So
yeah.
Anyway,
One thing that people are doing too, and I just want to send out an alert on this one, because at the same time that the liquor sales are going up and people are imbibing more to deal with being shack happy and having to actually look at your spouse continuously. There's also the problem of what's coming out the other end, and you may have seen that the Madison Metropolitan Sewerage District is sending out a warning. There's more sanitized wipes, paper towels, and other clog-causing materials that are coming into our sewage system, because of course people are hoarding toilet paper. I still don't quite understand that concept, but at any rate, they have been doing it. And of course people are also focusing on disinfectants. So here's a Mr. Smarty Pants message to those who are listening. Your toilet is not a disintegrator device. It is not the case that when you pull the handle, it basically dematerializes the stuff that's in there and somehow like shoots the molecules across the ether or something. It's actually a lump of something that goes through a pipe. So just be warned. And the Madison Metropolitan Sewage District is asking people, please, please, please don't be throwing all your stringy fibrous junk down in the toilet. So the only things that you should flush in the toilet. Yeah, it is a public service announcement. The only thing you should flush in the toilet is human waste. So you can stuff Donald Trump down the toilet. That's fine. And toilet paper.
And drugs at the cops knock on your door.
You had to say that out loud.
Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry. This is weird to not be in the studio. Yeah,
I'm visualizing you right now.
Yeah, yeah. As you do often. But
yeah, and you're wearing a pink tutu. I don't know if you know that.
But some other states have had trouble with that, where people were flushing things. I think it was California, and probably New York, probably too. But people were flushing things like T-shirts and things like that too, as well as all that other stuff.
Wow.
Well, you know how capitalism is always saying that, you know, the money goes to the you know, let the market decide, and the true value of something is in the market. Well, I think we found the true value, and the most valuable people in our society these last few weeks are the people who make toilet paper. I mean, the market has spoken. I mean, come on. They're much more valuable than these hedge fund managers. They should be paying the toilet paper people, like, you know, $800,000 a year.
So a related one, Mel, is I've been talking to several friends who have school-aged children, and he said it's a funny thing to see now. A lot of the social media people are all saying, we really need to pay these teachers more. Because you're home with your kid, and you realize,
right,
this is hard work. I mean, it really is to try to keep them on task and understanding what's going on and so on in this time when they can't go off to school.
And you're probably only dealing with one or two or three kids, not 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so sewage, toilet paper, and your kids. It's a natural trifecta.
Okay.
And
so I saw a tweet. I don't have it in front of me. I forget who it was, but some woman tweeted that it was very odd having your spouse working at home at the same time you were, seeing them in work mode.
Right.
And she said, I had no idea my husband was the circle back guy.
What does that mean?
Let's circle back. Oh, you're not up on jargon here. That's corporate jargon. It's like, you know, when you don't want to discuss something right then, it's like, yeah, we'll circle back on that.
So, yeah.
So
as you might imagine, I'm the OCD guy. And so everything has to be in its place. And, you know, in my office, everything is just, you know, meticulously arranged. I know exactly where everything is. And of course, that's driving me crazy here, because everything's spread out on the dining room table and it isn't where it's supposed to be. And so, you know, somebody moved my water dish.
Oh.
Hey, another thing that's selling
from
out right now, you probably could have guessed this, Mel, is small freezers. Turns out lots of people are buying small freezers. The usual size is a chest freezer of about 5 cubic feet. And people are putting meats and other things in there because, of course, they apparently, think that this is going to be for a long time. Here's the thing that's unfortunate, though. Most of the freezers that you buy in the United States are made in China, which makes restocking them very hard.
Well, Americans being Americans also rushed out when they heard there was a dangerous virus. They rushed out and bought guns.
Yeah.
You know, could shoot that virus, maybe. I don't know. But
yeah, you could just stick that gun right in the freezer.
One of my favorite Twitter follows is she calls herself the Volatile Mermaid, and she said that working at home now, she's giving all of her pets job titles, so she feels like she has coworkers at home.
My girl cat is
the manager. My boy cat is Jim in IT, and my dog just wrote me up for tardiness.
Yes, Companion and I have created an imaginary coworker named Cynthia, who's always doing things like, you know, leaving the coffee pot open, or not closed up, and so on, or something is where it's not supposed to be. Did Cynthia move that? Yes. Okay.
She's terrible.
She's terrible. Yeah, we have to.
I
that's the
used
other
to.
thing, in order to create group solidarity, Companion and I have to get together and talk smack about Cynthia every now and then.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I used to work there. She's garbage. And she gossips too.
Oh, she does terribly. Not like us.
Yeah.
We're just merely sharing information.
Right, exactly. So, well, I'm one of the few people still left in my office hive, and,
oh, really?
And today it's kind of like a horror movie where everybody else has like died or been raptured or something. So,
yeah.
But a couple of us decided to go raid the refrigerator and steal all the frozen stuff in there, and nobody's gonna miss it. And you know, plus who knows who's gonna survive? You know, I mean, they might not make it back.
Yeah,
so.
There we go. They're not gonna need that yogurt.
Exactly. So, it's free food. Come on. Oh.
So I have to say that with this emergency upon us, there was an excellent article today by Paul Krugman in which he described this as a natural disaster, which I think is a really good way
right.
of thinking about
yeah.
it. And the stimulus package that's being debated by Congress as the disaster relief, which also makes a lot of sense.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
and I have to say that one of the funny things right now is how topsy-turvy suddenly our politics have become, where you know... 11 states are letting uninsured people sign up for Obamacare right now.
Oh, that's terrible, hilarious. Terrible
Obamacare.
That.
Oh, wait, there's reality is occurring? Okay, maybe we should let you do that.
It's stripping a lot of things bare. I mean, it's like, yeah, we do need health care. Oh, we should pay teachers and, you know, people in restaurants and the food industry more. And, you know, oh, these are the essential people. I mean, it's really,
right.
you know, it's revealing a lot of truths. I mean, you know, maybe we need a national minimum payment. Maybe we need to up the minimum wage, you know, I mean.
Yeah,
so.
yeah, exactly. Or maybe so many people should be in a category where they don't get unemployment insurance. Maybe that's not such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
that. Yeah. I think that right now, Bernie Sanders is probably in his, I would say he's like a pig in crap right now, you know, because he's probably just like saying, I told you so about 100 million times to everybody. You know?
But unfortunately, we know how this will go. People have such short memories.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd like to think, but we'll see what happens, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this whole thing about, well, you know, the hot weather is going to come and that's going to take care of the virus and all this other stuff.
Goodness.
There's all these little stories we're telling ourselves. I mean,
it's
really disconcerting. I can understand this, but we do live on a planet with lots of other life forms and near life forms like viruses that are just trying to make a living. And every now and then
mm-hmm.
we get in the way. And this is one of those times.
Yeah.
I was happy to see the pangolins are off the hook, though. That worried me for a while.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're looking at the various viruses that pangolins get, and they're saying no, that's probably not the transmitting.
Okay.
You know, and initially it probably came from a bat, some kind of bat, but it had to go through some other mammal, and they're thinking it's probably something that's a little closer to a farmyard animal of some kind rather than a pangolin.
Hmm.
So, yep. Have you been watching more network news or any network news for that matter?
You know, I've just kind of by, I don't know, osmosis, I've watched some of the network news lately. And then the other night I switched back to PBS and it was like you could just feel me exhale. You know, it's the network stuff is so geared toward making you afraid and making everything so breathless. And
right.
and when they interview people, they let them talk for about literally 5 seconds. And
right.
and so it's all this kind of, and then I flip back to PBS and they were like discussing things where like the logical part of my brain could pay attention. And it wasn't just the fear factor.
So you still have one of those, huh?
A what,
logical part
factor?
Of your brain.
Oh, well, that's what's scary too, is that it's, you know, we've always joked about you can't have your own, you know, you can have your own opinion, but not your own facts. But that's apparently not true. I mean, you know, and Trump gets on there every day now and just makes stuff up. I mean, just pulls it out of his butt. And either the people who follow him have to correct him, or somebody from, you know, a state has to correct him. Cuomo has to come out and say, that's absolutely not true.
You know, pulling things out of his butt is like, it's our nation's most abundant natural resource right now.
Well, and also it gets everything from Fox News. I know this isn't, you know, a novel thought, but we should not be making national policy that affects the health of millions, hundreds of millions of people based on what Sean Hannity thinks.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
Hannity's
one positive thing is I've seen some evidence, some polling, daily tracking polls that are being done with the difference between Republican and Democratic views about the infection, about the virus. It's starting to shift a little bit. Political scientists are thinking that pretty soon the views of your sort of average Democrat and average Republican may start to converge on these things. They started out pretty widely different, of course, and just as you say, because of, you know, the messaging and the news sources that people employ. But apparently, according to pollsters, things are starting to move a little bit closer on different sides. A national poll, reading here from an article, a national poll was conducted by something called Survey 160, and they found that Republicans in Washington State, where, of course, it's been really bad, were much less likely than Republicans nationally to say the crisis had been exaggerated. So it's nice to, it would be nice to think that if something slaps you in the face, that you might actually say, hey, that thing's real.
Yeah. And so, well, your comment about how they're saying, oh, when it gets warmer, it'll go away. Well, it's pretty bad in Florida and Louisiana right now. And I think it's pretty warm down there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So maybe a cleansing 130 degree weather, which, you know, we're working on right now with our global warming strategy.
Do you know how many of these little critters are going to love it as it gets warmer and warmer? I mean, they like hot, humid environments. I mean, they're going they're going to just thrive. So this might be Mother Nature's way of saying they're done with us.
I don't know.
You know?
I think it's just kind of that one thing is in charge for a while, and then, you know, other things figure out how to deal with that, and on it goes.
Yeah, so.
Getting back to the network news thing, I saw this figure this week that really fascinated me. So there's this, I've actually never seen this show. This is ABC's World News Tonight. That's their weekly, nightly news broadcast. Apparently, they've had the largest number of viewers since 2000. And that's pretty impressive, because if you consider that in 2000, you had less choices in terms of how to get your information. Apparently, lots of people are finding it very comforting to tune in. That and the alcohol. I don't know.
Well, that even includes, you know, the 9/11, which is, you know, 2001.
But, yeah, no, that's a very good point.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you were talking about the polls earlier. I mean, there was some poll that something like 55 or 53% of the people supported the way Trump was approaching this, which was, it was astounding and then disturbing at first. But then I started reading that there's always this kind of rally around the president during a crisis, which, I mean, I know that, but so then they started comparing it to other crises, and it was a much less of a bump than other things. So the speculation is that it's not really that solid, and, you know, as time goes on. I mean, not that I care. I mean, it's not political. This should not be a political issue. I mean, you know, the Senate passed that bill unanimously.
Right.
I've seen this. You know, we can always play the imagine if Obama game, but imagine if Obama was president, and then and they tried to do something like that, or if you had a Democratic president in a Republican House. I mean, how just ridiculous it would have been. You know, just wouldn't have gone anywhere except for the corporate bailouts.
So I have my own conspiracy theory about this. I got on the scales this morning and noticed in the last week I've gained 2 pounds. So
yeah.
I have this theory that the aliens set the virus loose to fatten us all up. Because they knew that if we couldn't get out of the house to get out and exercise, that we would just become plumper and juicier as a result.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
It makes total sense. Every time I look at the scales now, I go up another pound. I'm going to be thinking of some alien licking its chops or whatever it has, thinking,
this
is my sweet. Get fatter and juicier.
To serve man.
Exactly. It's licking its lips again, whatever it has. Its mandibles.
This one's well marbled.
Oh, and all that marinade from the alcohol, too. Wow, it's going to be great.
Well, yeah.
Aliens have got it made.
Yeah, oh, they're pickled already. This is great.
Yeah, pickled. Oh, yes.
A friend of mine
I've
said
been reading a lot about viruses,
laid
too. That's fascinating. There are so many kinds of viruses, they don't even know how many kinds. I mean, there could be billions of kinds of viruses.
Sure.
Apparently, they're. I mean, I already knew some of this stuff, but I was looking into it more, and they don't even know where viruses came from. They're kind of like, well, are viruses, were they degenerate versions of something else that said, hey, I don't need all those extra things like cells and stuff like that. I just be, you know, just like a little information packet. Or is it the other way around, that they were first, information packets came first, and then they kind of got together and formed little bunches and so on. So, but they're absolutely ubiquitous. There's an unseen menace that surrounds us all the time. And most of the time it's relatively benign, and every now and then, not so much.
Yeah. And generally drinking bleach won't help with that. So.
You think?
Yeah. So did you see that Boris Johnson tested positive?
Yeah, well, you know, once you've gotten into a close relationship with Prince Charles, it's probably going to happen.
And also, and I take no pleasure in this, but I've seen Mar-a-Lago described as a hot spot.
Yeah, that's what it says, but it's not.
Yeah, Trump will just raise the price now.
Harvey Weinstein, I don't know if you saw that, tested positive for a virus this week.
Yep.
And he's being held in isolation, which is probably good for everybody.
Yeah, they should continue that.
Hey, folks.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm just jumping in here to say hello.
Hello.
Do I sound tinny to you? I sound tinny in these headphones. I don't know what's going on.
It kind of, it's done that a couple
of
times.
A lot of tin in your diet? Or?
That's exactly it. All right, well, do we want to take a break?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Leave.
All right, back with you in a second.
Okay.
All right, you guys are on.
Hey.
Guess you need a little, you know, prompting.
Yeah, we do. We're still sounding a little tinny, and I can hear myself, which is interesting and kind of horrifying.
Don't you usually hear yourself?
No, not like this.
Well, I'll go get Tom, but just carry on, folks.
Okie doke. You there, Mel? Oh, Mel.
You know, he's on, so let me just carry on, Mr. Pants.
Where is Mel? Any rate, if you haven't been paying attention at home, the House of Representatives just passed the relief bill, $2 trillion, and it was passed on a voice vote. And it was passed despite the efforts of Representative Thomas Massie, who's a Republican from Kentucky, who likes to use these kinds of procedural maneuvers to stop things he doesn't like. So Massey was trying to block the effort by calling for a recorded vote, but Republicans and Democrats said, nope, we're not going to do that. So no mail still? All right. Well, let's continue with the Mr. Smarty Pants show. Finally, I have achieved an absolute power. okay. So there, I have a monkey story, which I'm sorry that Mel is not able to access there. I don't know where he is. But hopefully
I'm here.
He's... Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me? Great.
I assume that you're just finished dumping a bunch of wipes down the toilet, right?
And a few T-shirts.
That's good. Glad to hear.
You know, this might jumpstart the American bidet business.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a monkey story?
I do. Thank you for asking. Yeah, this is about a mob of monkeys. Monkeys run in mobs, as you know, that lives in a city plaza in a city in Thailand. And what happened is that these monkeys, they live in the city of Lopburi. Normally, they get fed by tourists. And
sure.
That's how a monkey makes a living. And but there's no tourists right now. The tourist industry, as I'm sure you know,
Mel,
totally collapsed.
Yeah.
And so what's happening right now is that they need food, and they're not getting it. So no treats. And so they've been starting to basically start fights among each other. So it's not unusual for, these are macaques, by the way, it's not unusual for them to get into little tiffs, little brawls of various sorts. But in fact, this has gotten a little bigger now because they're fighting for food.
Sure.
And there's a quote here from an ecologist in Thailand who says, the fallen tourist numbers have brought a shortage of food supply for them, which can have a detrimental effect. Once they get used to being fed by humans, they become habituated to humans and even display hyperaggression if they are not given food, which is the way I am too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, it's like your relatives in Kentucky waiting for the draw.
Yeah, right. Waiting for the draw. Yeah, but hyperaggressive. See, the problem with that is that requires energy. So, you know, none of my family's really that aggressive.
Well, once again, minions, we're phoning it in today, literally. But Pants and I are both in isolated locations,
separate.
And, yeah, very separate. And so thanks for bearing with us today. Got a little corruption roundup here. Let's see. The Department of Labor is suspending its affirmative action guidelines as part of the COVID response.
It's all go with the Trump administration, I'll tell you.
And the EPA has issued a sweeping suspension of its enforcement of environmental laws, telling companies they would not need to meet environmental standards during the coronavirus outbreak.
Wow.
So,
is there a time limit on that?
No end date. You know, we'll just wing it.
Yeah,
the EPA statement's essentially a nationwide waiver of environmental rules for the indefinite future.
Wow.
It tells companies across the country they will not face enforcement even if they emit unlawful air and water pollution in violation of environmental
laws. My Lord.
As long as they claim those failures are in some way caused by the virus pandemic. And if we know one thing, it's businesses and their attorneys can link a cause to pretty much anything. So.
Right. And if we know another thing, it's that the Trump administration is great for enforcing these rules.
and wrapping up those indefinite deadlines too.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
this is the whole administration is full of acting whatever. It's because none of them are confirmed. So I mean, they haven't
They're
even bothered
acting.
To get confirmed. the cruise ship industry is trying to get into some of this sweet, sweet nectar, but they were left out of the first bill. And they're trying to make sure they get in the next one. They say that they're not confident that they could borrow from any of the existing loan programs. And do you know why?
Why?
Because they're all registered offshore. They all register it in other countries to avoid paying U.S. taxes.
Oh, and, nice.
But now they won't be eligible for the bailout money. So they're saying, well, you know, we kind of could use some bailout money.
Oh, man. So another rock overturned with lots of squirmy things underneath.
Yeah. So I love, you know, I mean, it's the whole socialism thing is silly. And they've been using that since way back, since Social Security, or maybe probably before. But I love how they peg everything to the markets, and the markets go down when it looked like they weren't going to have a deal for a couple of days, and then they get a deal and the markets just soar. I mean, the markets love socialism.
Yep. Ready money. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. And after the senators approved this bill, they all scooted out of town, and they're likely to adjourn until at least April 20th. So our work here is done. The crisis is over. We'll in a month.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're thinking we shouldn't be hanging out with each other during this period. That's not too, that wouldn't be too crazy, but.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, to get anything done, they have to come back because
turtle won't
let them do anything remotely. Yeah. And so
the that I was mentioning before you came back on that the House just passed the disaster relief bill, to put it in Paul Krugman's language. Yeah, they just passed it, and they defeated the procedural maneuver of the representative from Kentucky, who, by the way, I love this again. He's the guy from this Freedom Caucus, right? And
sure.
President Trump referred to him as a third-rate grandstander. And I thought, you know, takes one to know one.
Wow.
Oh, boy. So a lot of e-commerce sites have been springing up. In fact, just this week, the site Shopify actually closed 4,500 coronavirus-related sites because they were advertising things that were, let's just say,
yours.
Not the best.
Yeah.
So some of these sites are pretty amazing. Here's some of the. I mean, these are all like illegitimate products that people are trying to sell one another during this. Yeah, during this horrible health crisis, one site was marketing something called an oxygen concentration machine. God knows what that's supposed to do. Maybe that's supposed to be like a respirator or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another had
sure.
something called the Corona Necklace Air Purifier.
Oh.
Which all I could think of was the Middle Ages. You know, here, wear this beak with all these herbs in there, and you'll be just fine.
I want one of those beaks. I think that'd be cool.
I know you do. Of course you do. A third offered a $299 pill. Not $300. No, no, sir.
No.
It's not $300. It's only $299 that promised antiviral protection for 30 days. Not sure how it does that.
That's only $10 a day or $29.99 a day.
Any rate, so many of these sellers, of course, as you may not be surprised, don't actually possess any goods, let alone ones that are ineffective.
Oh,
they're just sort of, you know, saying here's a bunch of stuff, and then they're able to make pretty looking little sites and get people to send away for stuff that they're supposed to order, and then by the time you don't get the thing, then you know the thing's out of business, and there's no way to find it.
Uh-huh. Oh. So, That's almost worse than just sending them garbage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Although sometimes the garbage hurts you too. You know, I mean, I feel sorry for the people that were like listening to Dump talking about the, you know, this miracle cure, and they went out and bought the fish tank cleaner, and you know, one guy died, and then sure he's not the only one, but it's just very sad. Here's Trump's quote on why he thought Easter would be a good day by which to reopen things. "You'll have packed churches all over our country. I think it'll be a beautiful time."
Here, I thought he was going to say something about the resurrection or something, but no.
Yeah,
it's always about the size of the audience, if you notice that.
That's true.
I don't know anything about this religion crap. I have no idea what you're talking about. I did once read 2 Corinthians or something, but at any rate, I do know they pack them in, so it must be something good.
They pack in the rubes.
And they give, and then they pass that plate around. I mean, what could be better than that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. China has announced a temporary ban on all foreign visitors.
Ironic.
Also limiting Chinese and foreign airlines to one flight per week, and flights must not be more than 75% full. They're doing this because of the American flu, of course, and the American virus.
Oh, dear. Well, we are all interconnected. I mean, that's the thing about globalization. And so, you know, it's the bat flu is what it is. I mean, it's the bat virus. It's not the Chinese virus, but still.
Right. So it's Bruce Wayne's fault.
Once we have the Wild West of countries that are basically all interdependent and yet have no regulatory structure whatsoever for how that interdependence is going to operate, this is what you have. I mean, it's just a you know, law of the jungle, basically. So everybody's just kind of like, well, all right, there's a problem. Okay, what do we do about it? Well, people just suffer for it. We're not going to have any structures for monitoring these things or any internationally agreed upon ways to making sure they don't happen in the first place. So you have all the advantages of connectivity and all the disadvantages at the same time, but nothing to mitigate the disadvantages.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to, you know, back before we worried too much about the environment, where businesses could just, you know, have their external costs or externalities, I think they refer to them as, where they could just dump their stuff in the river or let it go up in the atmosphere. And you know, it was like a big savings for them, but the cost was borne by all of us.
Yep. So I mentioned a few things that will not be held, of course, or continue because of the virus. And another one is the New York Philharmonic canceled their season. And in terms of the Madison Symphony, they did send out a thing to subscribers saying that the next concert was going to be canceled, but that's most likely the entire season, of course, is going to be canceled.
Uh-huh.
Here's one that might hit home for some people. The United States Spelling Bee has been suspended.
Oh, yeah.
This is joins a long list of other things. This is a statement that was announced just last week that there was going to be suspended, but no new date was set, leaving it up in the air whether there would be a spelling bee at all in 2020. Oh, my Lord, no. According to Paige Kimball, she's the executive director of the Scripps National Spelling Bee, our hope is that the crisis lifts at some point this year and that we are able to simply reschedule our bee week. It's bee week.
Oh.
But only if it's safe to do so. The finals was a week-long event that winnowed hundreds of contestants down to around 15 for the big championship bee, which was to be scheduled for May 28th. And I don't know if you know this, but they broadcast the spelling bee on prime time. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was not aware of that. So it's just like watching the Super Bowl or something. You know? Mel, I know I'm going to get a lot of boos and hisses, but you know me. Finally, a world without sports. What a relief.
Although the downside is, again, I saw a tweet from somebody, a woman, I forget her name, I don't have it with me, but she said, "Please, somebody play some sports so my boyfriend quits talking about his sourdough starter."
Oh, dear.
Guys,
yeah, that is unfortunate,
guys,
isn't it? Yeah, because then they'll have to be you know, 90% of the men in this country will have to find a topic. And
yeah,
I'm not laying
safe,
big odds on that. I'm just like, I don't know if that's going to work.
Right, right. So.
What will the topic be? Come on, what's the topic?
When I interviewed for a job one time, they found out I was from Minnesota, and the guy, the boss, was a big football fan. And I'm not a football fan, really, but, you know, I can pretend if I need to, you know, set up to get a job. So, you know, he said, so are you a Vikings fan or a Packers fan? And I said, well, I don't think you're allowed to ask about religion.
Perfect answer.
Yeah. I think that's what got me the job, too. Oh, let's see. Hey, you'll be happy to know. Here's some good news. Someone got a pay raise. Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon got a 19% raise.
Oh, finally.
It's the biggest payday for biggest payday for a Goldman exec since Lloyd Blankfein took home $41 million in 2007.
Another great human being, yeah.
Things were going great in 2007, and you know the sky was the limit in 2007. You know, nothing bad could possibly happen back in 2007.
Not at all. Oh dear. Speaking of which, you know, of course the IMF was looking at the numbers and trying to predict what was going to happen. You wonder what I'm actually dusting right now. I suddenly realized, hey, I could dust the house while I'm doing this.
Well, that's
very gratifying. Gives me a real feeling of control. I don't know.
You never dust
the
studio.
The show like this all the time. Oh, well, look at that. Oh, my goodness. Look at those dust bunnies. All right. No, the IMF, the managing director, Kristalina Georgieva, said that she did not expect a recovery in the economy until 2021.
Yeah.
And here's her reasoning. She says, the faster the virus stops, the quicker and stronger the recovery will be. So that's her premise, I guess. You know, faster it stops, quicker it'll be. But she doesn't expect it to be over anytime soon. So she's thinking that this virus might be hanging around a little bit, which makes a lot of sense. I think you probably know this already, Mel, but I think some of the best modeling is that it'll go into abeyance and then it'll kind of slosh back again later in the year.
Right, right.
So we may be living with this for a while.
Louisiana has more than 2,300 cases as of Thursday afternoon, and there's some theories that the reason that they're such a hot spot, it's the fastest growth in new cases in the world, actually.
Wow.
They're thinking that Mardi Gras might have had something to do with it.
Sure.
So all these people came around from all over and intermingled and exchanged bodily fluids and everything else. And,
I had a student who went away for spring break, and I said, I told her that she should be careful, and you know, this is very dangerous stuff. And she said, yeah, I know. You're like, people might be sharing drinks or something. And I thought, oh, you innocent thing. Yes, they might be sharing drinks. That's the problem. You know, I have to say that I was looking at the map yesterday, and the places where it's proceeding out from are, not surprisingly, major airport hubs. So if you look at Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, and Denver, that's there. I mean, Denver has an unusually large number, given the fact that it's that far inland.
Yeah.
And there's probably some, you know, lots of people moving through all at the same time in those airline hubs. May also, that's pure speculation on my part, but it may also have something to do with the transmission.
No, that makes sense. I mean, it's probably a double way. I mean, where, you know, people on the airplanes are probably more likely to be infected because they're, you know, stuck breathing the same air for how many hours with all these other people. And then they get out and walk around and go who knows where. But you'll be happy to know, I mean, relatively happy, that the Netherlands has been one of the bright spots as far as fighting this. The Netherlands and Germany both showed glimmers of hope in the battle to combat the coronavirus. Data from Germany show just 0.4% of people who tested positive for the virus have died from it, much less than the 9.5% in Italy and nearly 4.5% in France. Right. And the Netherlands, the growth in transmissions have slowed significantly. But you're familiar with the Netherlands, so you can probably figure out
why. It's because they're also obedient and fastidious, which is why I love them.
Exactly. Do this. Okay. Hey, my neighbor's not doing it.
Yeah, sure. Of course it makes sense. We'll do that.
Han's not doing it next door there. Get him.
Yes, that's part of it, too. There, an advisory committee will definitely form to help, you know, compel people to do it who aren't. But, yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me, actually. I am slightly enheartened to hear that.
Yeah. Germany, they're not sure, but they think maybe because doctors aggressively screen citizens who were either fit or early on in the sickness at the time they took the test, at a rate, you know, higher than a lot of other countries. They had the resources to test those as opposed to, you know, third world countries like the United States where we could only test the very sick.
Resources as well, thanks for that.
That's the other lie that was, you know, exposed this week. It's like, oh, we can't afford that. You know, every time somebody wants to have a daycare program or something, it's like, oh, we can't afford that. Oh, we got to have that revenue neutral. And, you know, where's that money going to come from? And it's like, you know, here's $6 trillion or $3 trillion or whatever it's going to amount to.
Right. So the only reason why we count as a major economy is because if you take the entire amount of, like, you know, value produced overall, it looks impressive. But when you see where it all goes, you're like, no, this is like some kind of, not to be disrespectful, but some, you know, typical, you know, South American junta, basically, that sort of runs everything, and we need land reform or whatever. I mean, that's the way it's structured, and has been going in that direction for the last 40 years. And now we've reached the nadir.
Mm-hmm. People were asking Paul Krugman, if the mint could just make a trillion-dollar coin and deposit it. And he said, I guess that would work. It's really, they're just kind of making this up anyway. So it's like it's real money. I mean.
No, it makes you realize how completely arbitrary the entire thing is. I mean, and that's the point about it, isn't it, is that the economy is made up. And the coronavirus is real.
Yeah.
I mean, we can do whatever we decided to do in terms of the allocation of resources in our society, we could do tomorrow.
Right, exactly. But the governor of Alabama said they weren't going to be doing any of this crazy shelter in place or stay at home kind of things. Kay Ivey said yesterday she would not issue a shelter in place order. Y'all, we are not Louisiana. We are not New York State. We are not California, she told the reporter. And right now is not the time to order people to shelter in place.
I see a gap in her evidence there. I don't think anybody said that they were those places.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of those places are more sparsely populated, and of course it's going to spread slower there, but they're not immune. I mean, it's just sticking your head in the sand.
Yeah, well, there you go.
A little bit of
you know who has a job right now? Lots of people don't. The people who work on commercial ships. In fact, it's getting so bad right now with governments wanting to make sure the supply lines are continuing among and between economies and nations that people aren't able to get off their jobs. In many of these large tankers that go from and transport vessels that go from one port to another, even people that are ready to quit and whose term of service is up are being prohibited from doing so. According to estimates, about 150,000 crew members on these commercial vessels with expired work contracts have been forced to continue laboring across the world. And these folks, many of them, despite what's going on back in their home countries, would very much like to go home.
Oh, wow.
It will not surprise listeners, I'm sure, to find out that the vast majority of people who work on these vessels come from countries that don't command a lot of respect in the world. Unfortunately, Philippines, Indonesia, Ukraine, and some others. So these folks are basically being told by the the owners of the various lines that we need you, and even if your term of service is up and your contract's done, we got to keep you on.
The Texas Democratic Party is scrapping plans for an in-person state convention and instead will move the event online. The convention was supposed to take place in San Antonio from June 4th through the 6th, but officials approved an emergency public health declaration last week in Bexar County, where San Diego is located, barring gatherings of more than 10 people.
So the party what convention is this?
The Democratic Texas Democratic Party State Convention.
All right.
Trump said they're going to keep the Republican National Convention, though. There's no way they're going to cancel that.
Yeah, yeah. If they canceled it, there'd be much less gunplay in the United States.
I don't know what they're going to do with the one in Milwaukee.
That's a really good question. When is that supposed to be, Mel? I don't even know.
I think it's July, but maybe Charlie knows.
Yeah.
But
typical.
Yeah. So.
Well, it would be fun to have a virtual convention, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
how do you feel about doing everything online? I mean, do you transact all of your? You're in your office though, aren't you? You're going to your office.
I am, but there's nobody left there. I've been designated for some reason. I'm designated as essential, which is goes contrary to every way I've ever thought about my job. But
doesn't that make you feel a little good though? I mean, isn't that just a tiny bit of yours? Yeah, I'm essential.
Yeah, so.
You just like those guys on the ships, right? I want out of here.
That's kind of how I feel. Yeah. Hey, I think we might be done. Do you want to declare a weekend?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, you were prepared.
I was.
Yeah, so get on out if you can and get on up on that thing. So, hey, a quick shout out to the news and public affairs people, including Charlie and all the volunteers, and just really working their butts off trying to keep news and public affairs on the station. So thanks for all that good work.
Really thanks, Mel.
Yeah.
And Mel, right, I want to wish you luck as well. I know that you have family members and loved ones who are...
Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind, all kinds of great stuff. Thanks to Charlie for engineering, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.